Can I start?
You start and I'll...
I'll
do whatever.
Yeah, the Storm have been downgraded to a low-pressure system. The Eyes are up, wary of the Panthers, and Cowboys incumbent number 9, Reece Robson, is in the paddock. Welcome to On the Ranch. Yes, you heard that right. He's in the paddock. Reece Robson, welcome to the paddock.
Thanks, fellas. Thanks for having me.
Good to see you. It's a bit earlier than what we expected, but that's all good. Yeah, good game on the weekend, so pumped.
Yeah, it was a good game from all the boys, and everyone ripped in, got the 2 points, which was handy.
It's always nice.
Always nice.
Especially against the Storm, but that's good. I'm XR Bob on Twitter, sitting across from me trying to do some sums, Bucking Frog MC.
Hello.
Down the end of the table at Morgan Holmes Evans.
Hey, everyone, how's it going?
Fantastic. And next to him, Pistol.
Yeah, back again.
Hey? Back again.
How's that?
Got your video done this week. I like it.
A little late than never.
Better late than never. Now, Reece Robson can be found.
Was a whole day late.
Yeah, well.
Hard to vote.
At least it was out. Socials. You on Instagram?
At
Reece Robson, is it?
At Reece Robson, 2 N's.
2 N's. Oh, right. Okay. Good, good. No worries. You on there much? I haven't actually looked. Sorry, but...
No, yeah. I'm not that active on it.
Yeah, fair enough. Not like some of the boys. They got pictures up every day.
Yeah. I can't keep up with that.
Boy, Chad following you around with a video camera every 5 minutes.
Yeah, I probably need to start.
I was impressed, though, Reece, that when I reached out to you and sent the message, I noticed that you're following us.
Yeah. I heard knew a few of the boys that had been on here and listened to it a couple of times myself, actually. And
and you're still here.
Damn.
And still come in.
Jeez. No pressure.
Just wanted to come and see us and go, right, you're that prick slagging me off.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think now. Have I said anything bad? I know I've ragged on Hesse a few times.
That's why he won't come on.
No, yeah. He said he is. He's doing his PT Cert 3, Cert 4 at the moment. That's his excuse anyway.
I reckon he'll take you, so I don't think he's too concerned.
Well, yeah. I've known Hesse for a while, and I can probably get away with it. I have told him I've ragged out on him a few times, so he hasn't thumped me yet.
He's waiting until he comes on here, and he's sitting that far away from you. It's easy then. It's just a quick one of these. No dramas.
And the show will still go on that night.
Absolutely.
I am sure it will.
Keep rolling.
Yeah, thanks.
Now we have a few Patreon subscribers, a few questions from them. Actually, we have a couple of new Patreon subscribers this week. Mike Soulis has joined us. Al the PC Man has upgraded his membership as well. So we've got a nice little crew going on there. So jump on over to patreon.com, search for On the Ranch. You can find us in there and subscribe. Why not? Because then you can submit questions. And this week, we got a few questions for Reece. So we'll fire them up as we go, Reece. Sorry, I haven't vetted any of these, so I don't know what the heck. No, I have. I've read a couple of them. Corbin Kelly asked, when you're a young fella, who was your favourite player, but your only acceptable answer is Mango?
Well, I can't really get around that then, can I?
No, but seriously, did you have
Brett Stewart, probably my favourite. Grew up as a massive Manly fan. Just sort of grew up on Tweed Heads right on the border.
And that's the end of the show.
Yeah, New South Wales, man. And, I always grew up, old man went for Manly, so I was sort of born into that. And, Brett Stewart was one of my favourite players growing up.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay.
I'm not a Manly fan, but I didn't mind Brett Stewart. I thought he was all right. His brother was a bit of a drop kick, but,
Nah, loved them both.
Question for you on that, being a Manly fan. Did it hurt you not getting a contract with him at all?
Probably at the start when I was a bit younger, I was probably something I always wanted to play for, but then sort of once I sort of started there at the Dragons, sort of forgot all about that and was just wanted to play my best footy and play some first grade when I got to that stage. But, definitely if you ask me as a young fella, it was Manly or no one.
Yeah. Do you find when you're playing them now in cowboy colours, you're sort of like, I've got a point to prove, or that's just a childhood thing?
It sort of goes out the window when you start playing footy. It's just sort of what's going to benefit you the most on the ladder, and that's winning. And if it means them losing to get you up the ladder, then that's what needs to happen.
Cool.
Have you played them at Brookie?
Played them at Brookie a couple of times. Played them down there with the Dragons as well. And when I've been up here with the Cows, played them a couple of times.
At least you got to tick that box, though, I guess. As a young fellow, diehard Manly fan, Brookie is one of those kind of, as Gus Gould says, suburban grounds that you need to keep in the competition. But it must have been pretty cool.
It was pretty cool, yeah. Almost genuflected when I got there.
Are you still in the will with the old man?
Hey?
Are you still in the will?
I don't know. I'd have to ask him. Scared to ask him.
Now, someone named Morgan asked...
There's a couple of us.
Yeah.
It may not be me.
No confirmation on that. Do you always look to burrow into the try line from dummy half when you're close to the line?
To be fair, probably your first look is always ahead and see where the gaps are. And if it's in front of me, then yeah. And if not, if it's out wider and the halves are demanding it, then yep. I'm getting it to them. But
nah, stuff them. Just go straight in.
Yeah, it's probably definitely always looking for it, but it might not be your first thought with your halves always got shape and ready to play and probably a better option than me sometimes going myself. So always just listen to the rest of the team. But if the gap's there, then, yeah, definitely going to go for it.
I seem to remember, and I don't know if it's my poor memory, you sold one of the best dummy passes to go over the line.
It would have been Warriors last year.
Yeah.
Remember that almost. I'd dove in myself. I think I was looking, and I think Drinky actually pointed up and goes, look ahead, because I threw it, and I was just seeing the marker just run past me and go, oh, shit.
Yeah.
And I probably could have ran closer to the post, but I was too shocked and put it straight down.
Drinky did mention that too the other week. He did too, because we did ask the question.
Because I went to throw it to him, and as I've gone to throw it, I sort of held onto it, and the markers ran past, and he's pointed at the line, and I've turned, had enough time.
That'll do, as the gate's open.
Because it was one of those things, I think it was your first season with the Cowboys. I can't remember if it might have been the Raiders game.
You went over double
that game, I think, and both of them were almost from half both times. And it was like, it was a dying art, the old, you know, dummy half dive over the line kind of thing. It sort of used to be a huge thing in the 90s and obviously in the 80s was, you know, even the old toe ahead from the roll ball. But it sort of became a dying art. And then yourself done a couple, and I think there was someone else pulled a couple out as well in that same year, and all of a sudden it's become a big thing again.
Yeah, well, probably Brendan Smith's pretty good at it himself. He's always someone that's close to the line, pretty dangerous. But I guess probably because coaches these days, it's a coach killer letting a dummy half score, so everyone's pretty onto it. But if you can sneak one and get it over, they're all worth the same amount of points. So probably close to the post as well for the kicker.
More of it. Show and goes.
It should be worth
it. I love it. There's nothing wrong with it. Don't get me wrong.
We had a few letters regarding our posts during the week. The Tipping Comp update that was put out on our Facebook page. Carsten asked, because Cotter's... Was Tipping Comp update? No, this was the player points update. And I think Ruse is leading that one at the moment.
He is, yeah.
And Daniel Porter said, go Rubes, with, you know, the Sharkers or whatever the hell that is.
Yeah.
And Carsten asked, is he the dark horse for the Paul Bowman medal? Hashtag us.
While I'm drinking a cup.
So I don't know if you've listened to many shows this year.
I'm a bit lost with this one.
Yeah. I said at the start of the year.
We all said.
I said at the start of the year that Rubes is my dark horse for the Paul Bowman.
Yeah.
And I got caught up with myself a little bit there, and I think I said it almost every week for about 4 or 5 weeks, especially once he come in after that first two games that he missed and then just started playing pretty well. I think I said it every week, and it became a bit of a running joke. And then the one week I didn't say it, everyone else has been saying it, and it's just giving me shit now. Just paying out on me big time. I still stand by it, though. I still think he's going to be my dark horse. If there was a betting agency, I would be on it.
Well, I don't know if he's a dark horse anymore, because he's kicking ass.
Yeah, okay, well, fair enough. I mean, I'm not going to argue with you on that.
Harley Legg posted under our multi from last week after it lost, saying, unlucky, just another bad beat to add to the list.
Yeah, that was a bad beat, though. That was a really bad beat.
I mean, how many points did Hawks win by? Two?
Five.
So you're only 45 points in the wrong direction.
Yeah, but as I alluded to before, when the mics were not hot, no one predicted Nanai and Cowboys to not only score a try, but win by 13 plus. She's all laughing at that. And then Lions were up by 20 at two different stages of the game and did not know how to kick away with it.
They've done that a few times.
Yeah, it's frustrating.
Maybe not get on them this week.
No, I haven't.
I think the issue was I didn't see Val playing in Tasmania.
Yeah,
and when I saw it was down in Tasmania, we're in a whole bit of trouble.
I didn't want to ruin our chances of the multi, so that's why I didn't say anything last week. I knew we were playing in Tassie. That's why I turned around and said, are you sure you want to go 40 plus? I thought you'd win.
I didn't realise we were in Tassie.
KJ Reid said, no more injury discussion on the Pottock.
Yeah, it is banned.
We have covered that because as soon as Frog walked in tonight.
Well, I turned around and said, we hadn't had the pleasure of meeting yet because you haven't been in my
Yep.
Up in the corporate lounges.
Yeah. Anyway, that is the mail for this week. We might jump straight in and look at review round 11 versus the Storm here at Queensland Country Bank Stadium, a sellout crowd, allegedly.
22 or something like that.
22,728.
Well, I know there was two empty seats because...
Because no one took yours.
No one took me tickets.
I couldn't make it. My bad. But
you what, just on that credit, it feels out when you're.
It was. There. Yeah, it was good. Yeah, probably a few seats, but that's probably just from people not turning up.
I was gobsmacked because sorry to cut you there, but I was there. I got in about quarter to five, and it looked like there's 3,000 people there. I was thinking, man, a lot of people think it's a 7:30 game. They're gonna miss this, and then flooded in, but it didn't look like a packed house.
Yeah, no, it certainly felt pretty close to it. Yeah, it was pretty loud in the stadium, but I think that's just the way it's built. It's a good stadium. And, but definitely you could tell the difference that compared to past weeks when we haven't had as many. But, yeah, you could still see a few empty seats around.
Yeah.
Not sure what that was for.
What is it a 25,000?
Yeah.
So, yeah, a couple of thousand.
We'll just need to have a look at the State of Origin numbers compared to...
That's hard, though, because they put up extra stands for that. It's like 27.5 that. So, yeah, you can't really get
it. It's like anything, though. I mean, you think about it. Like, I get a couple of seats as part of my deal.
Mm.
I normally give them to whoever wants them kind of thing. But, so they didn't show up. My dad was in Brisbane.
Yeah, there'll be people out of town who have
I don't know where
season
mum,
memberships.
I don't know where the mum took someone with her to the footy, but you know what I mean? Like, there's another empty seat, but the seat's being paid for, so... But they still. only look at it as that whenever they say those numbers like sold out and that kind of stuff, they look at it and go, we've sold all the seats. Mm. And whether every seat has a bum on it the night is a whole other story. But
I can't remember the last time we had a sellout Storm game.
Not a Storm game, no.
Broncos, obviously.
Broncos, it's all, I mean, there's people been asking for the last 4 or 5 weeks, chasing Broncos tickets.
Yeah.
The way you guys are playing, I was going to say, it's going to be the hottest ticket in town.
The Broncos game?
No, just any game. Like, the way you guys are playing.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, everyone's going to want to go watch.
Yeah, it's sort of fair too. Like, you sort of, when you haven't been going as well, it's sort of, you don't get the crowds that you do when you are. So, hopefully we can keep that up.
Which is a shame, because you probably need the support when you're not going as well. Like, it'd be nice to have people there going, come on.
100%, but it's understandable.
Yeah,
you see where everyone's coming from. But, like, exactly, if we can keep the good footy up and fill the stands, I think it's a good feel for us, especially when we're playing and everyone else sitting in the stands too.
Yeah, and it's a nice stadium, but does the sound really kind of
It does, stay yeah. In? They've built it pretty good. Even though with that open end, you'd think it would flood out a little bit. It doesn't. It seems to stay in there. It's pretty hard from dummy half here and what calls.
That's why you just go straight.
I like the nickname that's been floating around about, I mean, obviously QCB, the horseshoe.
Oh, the horseshoe.
Yeah, I've heard a few people say
that's
now.
Good.
The horseshoe.
It kind of fits.
I've heard a worse one, but I'm not going to repeat.
Fair enough. It was good, though. I obviously wasn't at the game because I had another gig on, but watching the replay and that kind of stuff, you guys, when you went out there, you're obviously riding a high at the moment because you're playing good footy, but there was definitely no, I don't know, intimidation from the Storm. It almost looked like running out on the field, you know, take out whether there was players out or whatever, they looked like they were intimidated running out onto that field, which is not a common thing for the Storm.
Yeah, no, I'm not sure. Yeah, intimidated. I can definitely tell you we weren't intimidated. We definitely had a lot of respect for the side, and they're a great side and always have been, and think they still are. And I think we knew we had the right sort of personnel in our team. If we could get our game on, that we could get the 2 points, and I think that's what we knew. We just had to go out there and do. And I think all the boys were pretty focused leading into the game. And it sort of showed with the first sort of 20 minutes of that game, we sort of come out with the right mindset to sort of take it to them and see if they could stick with us. And they did there for a long stint. And I think later in the game, we started to reap a few of the rewards of that.
It seemed like, and I don't know whether you can say or not, but it looked like one of the plans of attack was just to shut down Munster. To stop him getting that feed. I know they had players all over, like Harry Grant started at halfback and stuff like that, but was that one of the plans, is to sort of shut those guys down, you know, shut down Harry, shut down Cam?
Yeah, I think it's obviously an important part of any game when you sort of go into it, just sort of you're trying to shut down their more attacking players. But, yeah, so I think that was a bit of our thing. But I think if the biggest part was if we could get our game on and defend properly and stop their big boys getting the roll on, then that sort of stops their more attacking players that being able to do what they normally do if there's no ruck speed from their big boys in the middle.
Yep. I could definitely see that. I mean, that seems to be a given for you guys this year. And all the boys we've had on have touched on it. You know, your defense, the work on defense during the preseason and obviously throughout to now has been the biggest turnaround for you guys. And as they always say, you get your defense right, the offense just sort of flows with it, kind of thing. But so obviously, Dean's been working pretty hard with you on the defense.
Yeah, definitely. I think you've probably, as you said, you've heard from all the boys. It was a tough preseason. We had a lot of defense. So yeah, I think we're just sort of reaping a little bit of the rewards from that. Now coming into the season with our defensive record at the moment has been pretty good, and if we can keep that up, it'll be good.
Especially in the second half. So you've basically locked out, I don't know, the last five out of six teams in the second half.
4 points in 240 minutes of footy.
Well, that's right. So it's, like you say, you know, it's that defensive effort. It reaps the rewards in the second half of these games. And does Todd Payton give you a G up at half time and just sort of reinforce, lock them out for the next 40 minutes, or is it?
Oh, no, I think that's pretty conscious thought from the whole team. We can lock them out, and I think that's pretty much going into the game, sort of with big defensive mindset. And if we can stop them from scoring points, we'll happily win the game 6-0 if we need to. But the likes of having the back rowers jumping up and getting the points for us sort of definitely helps, and have been stacking on a few points later in the game, which definitely helps the defensive side of things.
Yeah, well, certainly later in the game, piling on the points. I think it was 4 tries in the second half. In this game,
three in about 7 minutes.
So, I mean, we've seen that in the last couple of games, and with two players down, I think he was down to two on the bench for most of that game, really. So it was, real testament to pre-season training.
You touch on the pre-season with all the work and everything that you went into with the games that we have played, and you know, this is one of the most successful Cowboys teams ever thus far. I know it's only early in the season, but just with all the work rate. Do you find that the climates that you've been playing in has been a massive help? Like, obviously, with the preseason, burning your lungs and everything. You've played power up in Darwin. That looks sapped after 20 minutes. You've played a few games up here in Townsville. Tigers in Magic Round at Suncorp. I was down there. It felt hot on that Sunday as well. Do you find that the weather has given you, like, an extra 12-point advantage at times?
I think Darwin, as you touched on there with Parramatta, definitely was a big help because we're probably a lot more used to that type of weather, and that was probably another level than Townsville again. So, we were probably more used to that weather than Parra were coming down from Sydney, and that definitely gave us a leg up, I reckon, at the end of the game when they sort of looked out on their feet and we sort of were coming home pretty strong there. So I think that's definitely where we had a bit of an advantage up in Darwin. So and to be their home game as well definitely helps. But, I think most teams are pretty up for it when they get up here, especially this time of year. It's not too bad on the opposing team's lungs as well as much as it is probably the opening three or four rounds. Or
with the storm on that, though, they're coming from like a 4 or 5 degree climate down there to a 25 up here. Like, that's, you must surely think that that's a massive psychological advantage at times. Or?
Yeah, it definitely is. What's it called? They'd be definitely knowing coming into the game, they'd be having to hydrate a lot more than they normally would down in Melbourne, and yeah, probably a bit more burnout in the lungs towards the first 10 minutes of the game than they would be normally playing at home. So that could definitely fall in our favour. And I think a big thing too is just the ball itself. It's a lot slipperier than what they'd be used to playing down there. I think that's probably one of the bigger things. Like, yeah, it's a lot slipperier ball with all the sweat on it than they'd be used to playing with down south. And I think if we can get our sort of game on, like I said earlier, and we're a bit probably more used to throwing a slippery pill around than a lot of other teams are.
Yeah, yeah.
A couple more rancher questions. Does the Dally M points taste a little sweeter coming from Brandy Alexander?
Coming from
Brandy. Yeah,
he's obviously a great player back in his day, and he's pretty high stature around the game these days too. And, definitely coming from someone like that, or it definitely does come from anyone really. It's good to see. But, yeah, someone like Brandy is really good to see.
Yeah, I think we have a sort of running joke because Brandy's, he always commentates the Cowboys games, and he doesn't seem to particularly I don't know. We're very blue and yellow coloured glasses, so yeah. Sometimes his commentary doesn't really flow our direction is probably the nicest way of putting it. But, I mean, I'm an ex-Panthers fan, so obviously he sort of sits high on...
On your radar.
On the ability scale, but yeah, commentary scale, we put him differently. But, yeah, he's... And being a New South Welshman, sort of...
Oh, you're not going to get
it. It must have been nice, though, to get a couple of Dally M points, though. I mean, obviously, I know that's not what you go out to strive for. You go out there to get a W as a team kind of thing, but it must be nice to be recognised for things like that.
Yeah, definitely. As you said, it's not really too much on your mind when you're going into the game at all, but when you see it on a Monday morning when it comes out, definitely you feel a little pat on the back and you like seeing those little things. And but, yeah, exactly, it still doesn't mean anything and you sort of just into the next week and start preparing for that the best you can.
Do you look at it and see, okay, who out of our club, who's higher up the list and say, I'm coming for you?
No, I don't think it's too much like that at all, really. I think everyone's pretty happy for everyone if that does come. But, yeah, everyone's just sort of focused on playing the best footy they can. And if that stuff comes along the way, then that's obviously a great bonus. But, yeah, I think everyone's just sort of happy working for each other. And if we get the 2 points on the weekend, that's probably the biggest reward.
That's fair call. Fair call. I'm just loving, you know, obviously the teammanship that you guys have got going this year, that from what the other boys have been saying, that Chaddy's brought in and, you know, just getting around each other and all that kind of stuff. Has Toddy turned around and said, though, okay, boys, I'm loving the getting around each other, but this jumping up on top of each other is getting a bit dangerous? Because I'm getting a bit nervy here because there's been a couple of head clashes now. I'm waiting for someone to do a luai and go straight over the top and this and that. And
yeah,
it sort of reminds me of the 12th man with that the West Indian Seppo bullshit. That
willy nilly.
Oh, well, we've already had a broken nose from it. Murray Tuolungi broke his nose earlier on in the season, jumping up in a head clash. But I think it's good. Everyone's getting around each other, and I think the try celebrations are obviously good. But I think the best part of it's just the other things that we're celebrating out there, the outside backs. Yeah. Shut down a play or drag them over the sideline. Everyone getting around that is a real big boost. And I think I know for myself in the middle when they do something like that and everyone's celebrating, it definitely gives you another leg to sort of get that energy back when you're probably cooked and get into the set again.
So. I can only imagine what it does for you because I know what it does for me as a spectator, watching you guys just getting around each other when something – and like you said, the littlest things – you know, it fires me up as a spectator, so I can only imagine what it does for you, and I can only imagine what it does to the opposition team too. It just must demoralise them a little bit more.
Yeah, exactly. And I think as you touched on earlier, it's just how well we do get on as a group and everyone getting around each other. And I think everyone does sort of – it's very infectious and everyone sort of got around it, and it's been good. And the more we can keep that going, the better.
We have noticed that the last couple of weeks when you get around each other as well. So,
does it also have that adverse effect too, though? Like if you're being tackled like a bastard all set or whatever or for a few repeats and then they score a soft one out wide, you how the fuck did you let that happen? You're probably, killing me, guys.
We're not running over and jumping on each other if that happens. But, everyone's sort of got their strengths and sometimes it's not always going to get their job right, but... You know, we turn up again and get into the next set and what our next job is and we'll be okay. So that's what we've been doing at the moment. If we can keep that going, it'll be good.
Yes, sweet as.
I think Pistol added this one, the Tuolungi no try on the weekend. Now, this isn't generally aimed at you, Reece, but do you think the Bunker were trying their best to keep the Storm from having 50 put on them? You don't have to answer that, honestly. Because it got set up as a try.
Yeah.
And
only got sent up as a try because Riff was so far behind the play.
Are you trying to tell me that, like, with all that, like, Coates, okay, you did an all right effort to hold it up. But for a try to happen, the letter of the law is 1 millimetre of that football has to touch 1 millimetre of blade of grass. Are you telling me that there was enough conclusive evidence to overturn the on-field try that ball did not scrape the tiniest bit of grass somewhere along the line?
Personally, I didn't have a problem with the call. I would have actually been fining Muzz for not putting in 100% effort to get over the line in the first place. It looked like he was showboating a little bit towards the end there. It sucked, don't get me wrong. But I thought he wrapped him up pretty good, actually. It was a pretty good tackle. I'd be more disappointed with Hesse lifting the elbow. I don't know what he was thinking. His momentum would have got him there.
Oh, I don't know if it would, and I think there was just a bit of instinct there because he had it here and then he pushed it out to there, but And he probably felt like he was still moving. I don't know. Yeah.
Oh, it's pretty hard when you can see the trial line.
Yeah. 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 It's a bit hard to resist.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I don't think I'd lie. I think I'd be doing the same thing. Oh, it's all good. Because he had that look when he put it down. I think he knew he'd done it because he's looked up like going, it's on the line. It's all good.
Is there a bit of a technique to try and sort of get it across about looking like you're doing a double?
Oh, no. No. I don't think anyone's practicing for that. So. Yeah, you just
well, why not?
Yeah. Yeah, we might need to start practicing.
He hit a front-on tackle too. He could have easily sprung up, quick play of the ball. Robbo's dummy half, 2-2 in the game.
Well, that. Is it Muzz who's now got the nickname of Sugar Glider?
Yeah, I heard that pumping around on the TV the other day.
That was on the
day.
TV, yeah.
Because I think he's won. Well, he's one try, he was like this. He was stretched out.
Oh, that goosey was fun.
Yeah.
He almost made a meal of that. If he just pinned the ease, he probably just goes in. He stopped and goosed it.
He's just
got there.
Just having a bit of fun.
It looks like he's having a great time, though. Like, it looks like he's having so much fun out there.
Yeah, he's doing a great job for us, too. It's I think amazing. We're all having a lot of fun watching him. Some of the stuff he's been able to do out there.
Is he practicing some of those put downs at training?
He's naturally pretty silky out there. Yeah. And yeah, he's doing it with a bit of swagger, too, which is good. Awesome. That's good to look.
It's awesome.
Do you think he's a smoky on that maroon wing spot?
I think so. I think probably everyone's seeing the nice stuff he's doing out wide and the finishes on the tries, but I think what we're noticing more as a team is his back end carries for us are just unreal. He's getting us out of trouble so many times and sort of getting us on the front foot, coming out of our own end, and I think that's probably a massive part of the game in Origin, and I think, yeah, he'll be doing a great job for him if he does get that call up.
Because you'd almost save Hull's a World Cup start, really, the way he's played this year. I mean, out of the back five for Queensland, I think Val picks himself. And with Muzz playing outside him, that's a good combo to not break up, I'd imagine.
See, for me, I on a personal note, I hope they do make the Queensland side. From a club point of view, I hope to God none of them get picked. Like, I really do. The way we're rolling at the moment, I just...
But you only get better when you...
Oh, yeah.
If you go away, you come back stronger.
So. And it gives the opportunity for other guys that have been warming the pine for a while now to get out there and show their wares and have a run and get some game time under their belts as well. Because, like, you know, like JTB said the other week, you know, game fitness, you just can't simulate that. You got to go out there and get it done. So it'll be good.
All right, we might smash into our 3-2-1s and get them out of the way. We might kick it off with Pistol, you can go first this week.
Who did I have for three? I've got to bring up my run sheet here.
Tommy G.
I did have Tommy Gilbert, yeah. He just, when Lolo went down injured, he played big minutes, massive tackles, good carry, scored that first try as well. Just, I thought he played 80, he played 70, but just unbelievable for being in the middle. And his role changed when Lolo went off as well, from my eyes anyway. 2 points, I went the man across the room from me, 34 tackles, playing in the middle, scored a meat pie, just tackled like a bastard. On that try, though, was that a set play or were you caught out of position? And you, because it looked like you were running like hell to get the dummy half and then went, oh, I'm not here. But was it a set play?
No, not at all. Exactly what you said. I was fist bolting it, trying to get to dummy half, and when I realised I wasn't going to get there in time, Tommy jumped in there and I just thought I'd punch a hole off him because, got the ball to me and, got through. It was nice.
And when you go through the video, no, it was a set play, coach.
Yeah, that's what I should be saying.
That was just eyes up footy. Eyes up. Marvellous to watch. Should be more of it. And at one point, it was a toss-up for me. I had a couple honourable mentions in here with Nanai for one. I had, I don't have a run sheet.
Muzz.
And Muzz for one as well. But I went Chad. He just seemed to be the director of the ship. You know, those guys that scored a few and did what they did, you don't get that off the back of your half, putting yourself into those players. Credit to Nanai, though, 29 tackles, 0 misses, no errors. For someone that 2 weeks ago said that he's a liability in defence, well, I don't know what game he's watching.
And there's a few people out there that have a tendency to say that. After we got the explanation of what a missed tackle is, it's changed my whole outlook looking at stats and stuff like that.
A bit weird. All right, I'm going to rip through mine. I went Tommy Dearden for 3 points, just all over the park. I wrote these straight after the game, and I actually can't remember writing these just quietly. But anyway, Tommy Dearden, I wrote no reason. So anyway, he had a good game. Jeremiah Nanai, who every week he just comes out of nowhere. I don't. You think, well, where's that kick going to? And he just appears. And He's through. It's freaky.
I don't know what I was watching, but I saw someone was talking to Cooper Cronk about the kicking and all that kind of stuff. And yeah. They were talking about how Nanai's become the new target instead of Felty and all that kind of stuff. And Cooper, I think, hit it in the head. He goes, everyone's expecting everyone to kick to Kyle. Whereas so now, you know, Chad's got a little bit of a different style of kicking and that, and he's sort of found that little, he's just hitting the gaps. He's aim kicking for the gaps. I'm sure everyone else does too, but he's kicking for the gaps and Jeremiah just happens to be there. So now all the defense falls in. So you'll watch will probably happen as the season goes on. They'll start kicking out again.
Well, don't give it away.
Oh, I know. Jeez. Mate, if people like Trent Robinson and those kind of coaches can't work that out, then wow.
They
sign me up. Sign me up.
One point I gave to Petahiku. He, his work rate was insane that game. He was everywhere.
That ball to Muzz.
Yeah. That crisp.
Very crisp.
There is a lot of crisp passing. There is so much.
Well, I don't know if it was crisp. It hit the ground, so.
Wow. Yeah. No, you're right. That one wasn't great. But I don't know if you guys are training with your passes a lot better, but compared to last year, I don't know. They just seem to be hitting the exact right spot or a lot better than they were.
Yeah, I think, touch on a bit earlier, confidence is key in that stuff. Everyone's playing with a bit more confidence, you're not as stiff and it's a bit easy to probably push that pass on where you'd probably hold it in the past.
Yeah, fair enough.
See, I'd be the kind of player that'd say, no, I was always throwing the pass to the right spot. It's just they weren't hitting the right hole.
Yeah, that's what I would say.
Always
a step and a half behind.
Of course.
Moggs.
Yeah, I'll keep mine short and sweet this week. I did also straight after the game. So I was pretty excited about how it all went down. I went Cotter for the free. He didn't get over the line this week, but I think he put an awesome amount of effort in playing for an hour, especially in post-contact meters. I went Drinky for the two. I think he had awesome direction of the game. I went 1 point for Muzz, who's just basically... You remember in the summer of cricket, you have the classic catches, and they'd play all the classic catches throughout the whole season.
Yep.
Basically, Muzz is just doing his highlight reel of classic touches, classic putting them down.
And tackles.
Yeah. I'm loving the tackles, especially from, like, you, Kyle, and Val and Muzz on defence. Like, and when you guys do all get around it, it's amazing. I went quick honourables for yourself, Reese. Nanai for the two tries, and I reckon Val getting 6 out of 6 conversions, but I reckon he's got to buy Drinky a coffee at training for the amount of distance he ran around behind the sticks.
It's only because we gave Drinky so much shit from the week before.
Drinky was on
the show and we were talking about running the ball around, making it easier for kicks and that kind of stuff, and then he scores that try off the freakish pass from Muzz and then didn't run it around. So I know I gave him a bit of stick about it.
I gave him some curry.
Pistol gave him some curry about it as well.
I got up when he got across the line. I'm like, yeah, come on. And then I saw him go around and I went again. I went, yes.
we're going to lay claim to that we had a word to him and he improved his
I think he was running. Shocked when that ball come back into
him. I think everyone was shocked.
Yeah.
Did you see? I'll put it down.
Yeah. Did you see the footage? When that happened, there was an older lady sitting in the background and this thing wearing an old Western Suburbs Magpies jersey, and her look on her face was just like, it's phenomenal. Do yourself a favor, go back and look at that footage and just see her in the background. It was just like, oh my God, how did that happen?
It'll be in a few highlight reels, so it should be easy to find. Yep. Frog, your points.
3 points, Hiku. As you know, I froth on him anyway, but yeah.
Phrasing.
Froth, it's... keep up with the times, you old fellas.
Oh.
So 3 points to Hiku. I went 2 points to Chatty. I really enjoyed – I've been enjoying watching him evolve as the season's gone on and got more confident and found himself again. I think he's found a whole new lease on life up here. He just seems to be playing with a confidence that I don't think I've seen in him since 16 when the Sharkies won the premiership. Which excites me. And I went 1 point Tommy Gilbert. I just, for a man who's so calm, collective and quiet off the field, when he gets that white line fever and crosses onto that field, he just scares the shit out of me. Like, there's no way in the world I'd want to run in front of him. And the way he scored that try and he just got so pumped by it, it was huge. So I went 1 point for him on that one.
Beauty, what's our top five?
All right, top five for this week after 11 games. In first place on 45 points is Reuben Cotter. Second place on 33, Tommy Dearden. Third place on 30 points, Jace Taumalolo. fourth place on 29 points, Scotty Drinkwater, and in fifth place on 22 points, Val Holmes. And just so you know, you're on 17, so you're not that far off the thing. And you came second last year in our Player of the Year award, so yeah, Drinky pipped you by about 7 points. It could become a bit of a head tussle there for a while in that last couple of rounds between you and Drinky for that one, but he pipped you at the post, but yeah, it was good.
Good, very good. A couple more questions from our Patreon subscribers from Ian Cumming. What's the one thing about this team that you feel has contributed to the huge turnaround from last year? And I'm pretty sure I know what the answer to this one's going to be. Castle Hill.
Yeah, it was a big part of it. I don't want to say that because then we'll probably have to do it again next year. But,
that seems to be the general statement after that.
I dare say it's going to be on your regime for quite some time.
Since it's all Blitz Castle Hill, we're doing Mount Stewart.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, no, that's definitely a big part of it. Not Castle Hill itself, but the whole pre-season was a tough one, but I think something we needed, especially after the couple of years we'd had in the past. And, yeah, I think the attitude as well is probably a big shift this year, and that's sort of, we've seen moments of it last year, I think, and we just didn't really have the consistency last year that we needed, and I think that's probably, yeah, the attitude and consistency on the back of a good preseason was probably the biggest thing that's shifted this year.
Would it be a couple of the older heads around now as well, such as Chad and Pat Hiku, for instance?
Yeah, definitely, especially as exactly for a calming influence and that around the team, and Chad for a bit of direction on the field, but yeah, I think Pet's really good for our edges as well. He's keeping that edge, especially with Nen and I being very young, and he's got Feldy out there outside him. They're doing a great job together, and they're working perfectly on that right edge. And I think he's been a real good influence, especially as you said, his work rate for a centre is pretty phenomenal. He'll end up on that try he set up on the weekend. He's over on the left side of the field, so
yeah.
I think that's the thing people don't see is the work he's doing off the footy. And yeah, and Chaddy's direction out there has definitely been a massive help for us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sorry, Rob, just on that with Pet, it looks like Kyle's game has gone to a whole new level. Like, for a bloke that's almost done 200-odd first grades, he's a 30-year-old, he's a bit of an ornament to the club and the game. How much is he having an influence over Kyle? Like, it just seems like one person has managed to get the best out of him.
Yeah, I think, obviously, as we sort of spoke about earlier off air about Val and Muzz working so well together, I think, yeah, Feldy and Pet on the other side, I think it's just making Feldy's job a little bit simpler. He's not trying to solve things that he just knows Pet's going to do his job and he only has to do his. And I think that's, Feldy's a great defender. And I think when he knows that Pet and Chaddy and Nenai inside him are going to do their role, he knows his role's pretty simple. And now that he knows that, he's sort of coming up with the right play more often than not, and he's been great out there for us.
Yeah, Alistair Horn has asked, which former Cowboys players would you like to have played with?
Well, it's hard to go past Jono.
Well, yeah. But you've got him around the club now too, I mean.
Exactly, yeah. So. Well, obviously, growing up, someone like JT, someone you look up to, and even being a New South Welshman, is sort of, had that love-hate relationship, knowing how good he was, but just annoying when he put on that maroon jersey against your team and losing for 8 straight years didn't help growing up. But, someone like him or Thumper, Matt Scott, would have been great to play alongside. I think they're just massive for the club, and I think you see what they've done for the club and the people around the community. It's just, it's pretty good to see, and to be able to pull on a jumper and run out beside those guys and just see what impact they have on the players around them would have been awesome.
Absolutely.
Having those former players you'd like to play against, was there any current members of the squad that may not be there now but or still are that lured you a bit to coming up here, or was it more just getting a crack from being in the, I suppose, Cam McInnes or Mitch Raines' shadow?
Yeah.
Was it more of an opportunity, or was there a player, particular one, that you went, yeah, I actually want to play alongside?
Definitely the reason for me leaving the Dragons was to get some opportunity to play first grade. But then when I sort of got on to look into where I wanted to go, that's where it did come into it. The Cowboys just looked like a great team, and I'd always versed and loved the traits that they did have, even though sort of while I was playing first grade down there, they didn't have the successful years that they had in the past. They were always a tough, gritty team, and that's sort of what attracted me to come up here. They sort of worked hard, and even though it wasn't coming off for a couple of years, the sort of players they did have, like you just mentioned, like someone to come up and play alongside Gavin Cooper and Michael Morgan was incredible. And, they were sort of current Australian players when I was sort of coming through at the Dragons there. And, yeah, definitely blokes like that are a massive attraction when you're coming up to play, get your shot as well, to play more first grade and to play alongside guys like that is just a massive bonus.
Not having that tackle, Tamalolo in the middle is a good thing too.
Exactly, yeah. Sorry, I didn't even think of Jace. I'm still playing with, sort of thinking of the boys that are retired now. But, yeah, Jace still doing the same stuff he's doing for so long. And, yeah, it's incredible playing alongside him each week.
Do you pity some of the other hookers in the other teams when you go, oh, man, good luck tackling that. He's in a mood tonight, or?
Yeah, sometimes I'll just give him the ball and send him straight at him. Because I know they're probably going to be doing the same thing with their big boys to me. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so it's good to have him on your side, getting them back.
We have a question from Uncle Merv. Uncle Merv's a running, not a running joke, but he's someone who sends in a message every now and then.
He's a pest.
Yeah, he's a bit of a pest. I won't say what kind of pest. Who's your favourite member of On the Ranch and why is it Pistol?
Oh, Uncle Merv, what a question.
Yeah. You don't have to answer that one. That's fine. Corbin Kelly's done a real left field question here. thanks, Corbin. Shag, marry, kill. Drinky, Dearden, Hess. You also don't have to answer that one. Yeah, but...
Someone's going to be upset. Yeah.
I'm not sure which one.
Yeah, probably the one I'm shagging.
Mate, if it's not Hesse in those 4X undies, I don't know who it is.
He likes them, mate.
That's the one thing I missed from the cowbell ringing from this week. There was no shot of Hesse in his undies.
Yeah, they've probably been told to stay away from
that. Fox banned him.
Yeah, probably.
Jeez, it's a sight. Pistol. You've put in a whole bunch of questions here, mate.
Oh, yeah, you didn't have to say they were all from me. You could have just...
No, I'm just saying. How was life growing up New South Wales and Moolumbah?
Yeah, I've still got my grandparents and that are down in Moolumbah, and every time I get back in the off-season, that I try to get back down there and see them. And it was a great part of the world to grow up in, actually. I loved it down there, and still got a lot of friends there, especially around that sort of Tweed Heads, Coolangatta area where Mum and Dad live at the moment. But... yeah, Moolumbah, went to school there till I was about 14, 15 before I moved to Sydney, and played a lot of my junior footy down there for the Moolumbah Colts, and loved it, and still got some great mates down there that I still keep in touch with.
So that's really close to the Tweed, is it? It's
Moolumbah, yeah, it's probably. So I was born in Moolumbah and sort of till I was about 10 until I moved to Tweed Heads, and yeah, it's about 20-minute drive. To Moolumbah.
Oh, okay, yeah, so not far at all.
Nah. You're pretty much a Queenslander.
I was on the border enough to hate him.
Fair enough. Was footy always on the horizon? Or rugby league, I should say.
Yeah.
No other sports?
I played a lot of other sports, but there was nothing. When I was real young, rugby union probably, that's what my old boy played, and I was probably always wanted to be a Wallaby, but until I was sort of old enough to start playing footy, and then... yeah, there was nothing else for me, really, rugby league. But I definitely tried anything I could at school just to get out of it. But, it's always been rugby league, especially since I was old enough to understand and watch the games. And, yeah, it's always been rugby league.
Always been a number nine?
When I was a bit younger, sort of come through at the Moolumbah Colts, sort of just played anywhere, really, sort of jumped in wherever we need a spot. We were a good side. We weren't always that strong, so just wherever we needed to play that week, everyone would sort of chop and change, and anywhere really I needed to play there. So and then once we sort of got to an age where football started getting pretty serious, then yeah, it's number nine. So
what made you want to become a number nine? Was it just because you get in there more?
Yeah, I guess probably looking back at it now, I probably should have picked somewhere like centre or wing where I'm probably not in the thick of it. But coming through, I always loved the defensive side of things, and sort of always had a little bit of a higher work rate there in the middle, and wasn't big enough or fast enough to be out wide or to be running over people. So that's sort of somewhere I had to be, and I enjoyed that position, especially being a dummy half, being able to pick when to run, when the ruck speed, and sort of get in and do a bit of that dirty work in defence. And I like it and enjoy it, and it sort of got me a long way, or got me to one of my childhood dreams is to play NRL, and I got that chance through playing number nine, so I'm pretty happy I stuck with that position.
Fair cool. Can't argue that.
With a bit of union background to you, and obviously you're a league boy and you love it. 2027 World Cup in Australia.
Not a chance.
If you Wallabies are chasing a Gregan-esque sort of player,
George Crowley was actually a player I loved.
25, 26, 20, 25, 20, 26, and you wouldn't make the cross code.
Nah, mate, rugby league.
Yeah.
Yeah, sort of loved it. Sort of was just born into union with dad being a rugby union player, but when I could sort of watch it and decide for myself, it was always league, and it's what I wanted to do and want to try and achieve what I want to achieve in the game. So
sweet as.
Have you done much study or anything outside? So have you? I don't want to say plan for when you retire. That's probably a long way off, but it's got to be in the back of your mind.
Yeah, no. What's it called? I'm doing my builder's license at the moment. Sort of done my apprenticeship, or still got a year left on that. But obviously with footy, it's sort of hard to sort of knock that off. But yeah, just doing my builder's license at the moment, trying to sort of finish all the TAFE side of things. But until I can get back, sort of knock off a few hours if I need to go back to building. But that's sort of something I've got behind me. And something I do enjoy doing, and my old boy's a builder, and so is my brother. So sometimes in the off season, when I get back there, he'll rope me into chucking the boots back on in the tool belt and doing a bit with him when I get home. But
I've got an old Queenslander that needs a bit of help at the moment, so I'll keep that in mind.
Reece, your Queenslander needs more help than Flash Gordon.
Do you want to rate Pete's handiwork here in front of you?
Oh, lovely, mate, lovely. Round it out.
He's up.
He's a builder, not a chippy. He's up.
I'm a sparky, man.
No, we can tell.
Yeah. As long as the conduit fits, it's all that matters.
Yeah,
exactly right.
All right, we might jump in and have a look at this game coming up on Friday night at 6 p.m. down at Bluebet Stadium.
Jeez, didn't Channel 9 screw this week up?
Yeah, well.
Game of the round, 6 o'clock on a Friday afternoon.
That's what they do. It's what happens when they do the scheduling.
And who've they got on at 7? Well, I'm sure we'll touch on it later, but who's on the
We'll have a look later on. A few changes to the team this week due to a couple of outs. Scotty Drinkwater, Hammer comes in on the wing for Kyle Felt with Val Holmes, Pet Hiku, and Murray Talangi in the back row. What are you looking at?
I was waiting for it to.
Oh, right. Yeah, I keep getting a side glance from you. I'm like, what am I doing wrong? Tommy Dearden and Chad Townsend, of course. Jordan McLean, Reece Robson, Ruben Cotter, Tommy Gilbert, Jeremiah Nanai, Cohen Hess starting in lock. Jake Granville getting a run on the bench with Helam Lukey and our boy Jermaine Tonal Brown getting a start.
Gryffindor in 17.
Gryffindor in 17. And Taniela Sedrugu is 18th man this week. Straight in.
What's his Derek? No.
Dan.
What? Dan. Yeah.
Big Dan.
It's funny because when I got the message through, I had him in the room the other couple of weeks ago, and I get the message from Cass saying, oh, yeah, you've got, you know, Dan Sedrugu. And I'm sitting there going, who? I don't even play by the name of that. I'm looking through the team list and going, I wonder if she's mucked up here. And then I had Benny Connan as well, and Ben come up first, and I said, who's this? And he goes, that's what he calls himself because no one seems to be able to say his first name properly.
I don't know where it come from either, so it's just a lot easier to say that.
Is it still surreal being a young, in the 20s, bloke seeing Reece Robson up there when the team gets listed?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's, what's it called? You're still playing NRL every week in, week out, so I think that's something you sort of forget when you are in the middle of it, and just sort of sometimes you can sit back and have a look and realise, yeah, like you're getting to live your dream, and it's something you forget when you do get caught up in it all and the competitive side of things. But yeah, you are living your dream day in, day out, and it's pretty good to see.
Yeah, for sure.
You're bugging me out over there. Looking at me and I keep thinking I'm doing something wrong.
Just keep staring at him to stare him up.
Stop staring at me. Stop looking.
I can't help it. I'm looking at the screen, then I swing around, and every time I swing around, you catch me eyes.
Well, it's a massive first place versus, well,
I'm going to say it's first, third. First, second.
First, first, second. We should be in second place.
If we put 7 more points on the Storm, we go to second.
Those two tries spot, not disallowed, we would have been in second place.
Well, anyway, this is true. This is true. And who knows, after this week, I don't want to put any mocker or anything.
It must be a pretty good feeling, though, to be able to go into a game against Penrith. You know, they've been one of the benchmark sides for a few years now. It must be pretty good to be able to go into this game going, hey, we've got a good chance here because we're actually playing some bloody good footy. You know, obviously, I'm sure Todd would be just doing the same thing. All right, boys, you know the plan. You know the game plan. Let's not go change anything. Let's keep rolling through what we do. Defence, then attack. You know, is that how it sort of pans out during the week?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, you know, sort of when you do come off a good win, you sort of know what you've been doing is working. And, yeah, it definitely makes your job a bit simpler coming off a win because you know what you're doing, it's working, so you can keep that up going into the next game. And there might be a few things that you sort of adjust depending on what team you're playing, but generally on the basis of your game can sort of stay the same, it does make it a lot easier, especially for the 9-7s and 6s and the fullback there. It's sort of when your job gets a bit simpler when you can just keep it the same each week. So hopefully we can keep winning and keep doing that.
Do you, when you go into a game, do you, obviously, are you playing, is Coruscant playing this week, isn't he? He hasn't.
Yeah. That's pretty much the same team for Panthers.
Do you look at that and go, okay, well, he's playing pretty good footy as well. Do you go out there and go, do you think about what you need to do to shut him down as your opposite?
Yes, you definitely look at because he's a great player, Api Koroisau, and we definitely look at what we've got to do to shut down. I guess it probably is that little bit of rivalry yourself being the opposing nine, and you're always trying to probably get it over the opposing positional in your own position there. So, but no, definitely more as a team, you sort of look at their sort of threat. Someone like Api is very good out of nine, and that's sort of something we've got to look to nullify, as we did on the weekend with the likes of Munster and that we said. And if we can sort of work on those things and shut him out of the game, and it'll go a long way for us winning come Friday night.
As much as it pains me to say this, now, Appy was like on the squad for New South Wales last year, and Cookie's not playing the best footy at the moment. Do you have in the back of your mind going, if you come out and have a blinder and shut him out, there's a possibility that a blue jersey could get thrown your way?
I don't know about that, mate. But, I don't know. Sort of leave that up to Freddie and the selection squad. But I'm just going to go out and try and play the best footy for the team and myself come Friday night. And, it's definitely obviously a childhood dream. And if that did come along, I'd love to take that opportunity with two hands. But, as I said, I think it's more important at the moment just to go out there and try and play some good footy and get the 2 points on Friday night. And if that stuff comes, then all the better.
I like it.
Just a quick message to the agent. If you could just drop this on Freddie's desk. Just drop a card on his desk. That'd be great. No drama.
I wanted to find out about that. Does Fred have your number?
I've sort of come through. He actually was coaching me in the under-18s origin. So, I sort of met Freddie Fittler back then. And obviously, being someone like Freddie coaching you when you're 18 years old is incredible. And getting to meet him and that sort of stuff was pretty sick. But, getting to know him back then and sort of coming through a lot of the pathway programs down there in the New South Wales system, so you sort of get to know those fellas down there, and you got some pretty handy footballers around there too to sort of learn off and try and take what they're teaching you back to clubland and try and put that into your game the best you can. So
because not throwing it out, I mean trying to diss anyone or anything, but New South Wales have had a pretty good run with hookers. I mean obviously Queensland's been pretty lucky with Cam Smith for so long, but there's been some pretty big names go through the hooking position for New South Wales. Badiris, Farah.
Cook.
I'm trying to think who else has played down through me. Ennis. Yeah, Mickey Ennis is in there for a little while. So they've had some pretty good hooking players playing in the hook position. So
you look at the Queensland team, though, and you've got, just off the top of your head, you'd have Reed Marnie, Ben Hunt and Harry Grant.
Harry Grant, for sure.
Then you look on the New South Wales side of things, obviously Damien Cook's name gets thrown around, Api Saikoro. There's not too many other Blues hookers that stand out. Like, you look at our team, you've got Reesey here, that being a Queensland team as well. The Broncos have got Queensland hooker, so does Titans. Melbourne's Queensland hooker. Warriors have got a Kiwi. There's a few Kiwis getting around. Like, the stocks of the Blues hooking ranks wouldn't be overly as high. Like, I'm with Froggy, an injury to Cookie or something, and I don't know. Reece, you're a good chance at pulling on number nine. I don't want to fluff you up here or anything, but
I don't think Cookie's been playing that good of footy at the moment. I think Appy would probably be in the eyes of knowing what Freddie could be like, he'd be probably number one. I reckon he's up there. Just chucking it out there. As much as it's going to hurt, me, because I said, I don't want to see any of the boys go and play rep footy because I want the team to just go through and just crunch the whole season, but
that's not how it works.
Well, good luck if the selection comes anyway, buddy. Really do.
I'll make some calls. It's all right.
The phone rings in 5 minutes.
But I was sort of wondering, just on that, how does coaches in Origin team get your numbers? Like, when you start off and you're Queensland legible or Blues legible, do those organisations get everyone's mobile numbers, or is it just by chance that Fred would have yours?
Well, as I said, I've sort of known Freddie coming through the junior ranks. Yeah. But,
yeah, but if, you
for,
didn't,
if yeah. I didn't, and for the players that haven't done that sort of stuff, is yeah, it's when you're first on your NRL, first NRL contract, you put down your eligibility for who you're for, and I think that must be kept somewhere in the systems, and I think it's pretty easy for those fellas to find that out. And even if it's just a call to the club or whoever yeah, it is, yeah. it may be, they've got connections everywhere. And yeah, it's pretty easy for them to find out pretty quick, except for, I guess, with that Ronaldo situation yeah. last year.
What a joke.
It wasn't quite as easy. But
how does it get to that stage is yeah, beyond
that's,
me.
That's probably the yeah. only thing time I've ever heard it getting that far. But yeah, other than that, they generally find out pretty quick.
I'm
yeah.
sure if they couldn't, they'd ring the club or at least the manager or something like that. And
even, yeah, find it, get the club, give it his number and ask him himself. So.
Hey, Todd, it's Fred. I want to talk to Reece. The fuck you are. I need him this week.
another question that has been penned to us. When did you know that tackling big units in the middle was going to be the career for you? And what advice have you got for aspiring youngsters going through their teenage years that want to become a professional athlete?
Work on your skill and try and get out in the backs. just keep working hard. And yeah, I think as sort of everyone throws that around that, yeah, it's not always the most talented, sort of, especially in the middle, that sort of thing. You work harder, you can sort of get yourself there if you want to work harder than the bloke in front of you and try and get it over them and keep doing that the whole way along until you get there. So, yeah, I think that's something.
Did you find that you had a bit of the natural talent to make it? I don't want to say make it easier because I'm sure it wasn't, but or did you find that you were pretty much busting ass to realise your dream?
Oh, I think I had a little bit of talent. Obviously, not much as a lot of other players. That's definitely the case. So I probably didn't have as easy as some boys, but definitely sort of the way I play and it's sort of a lot of effort. And that's sort of something I had to work on coming through and just sort of a lot of work on my game and sort of areas, especially at dummy half. There's a lot of little subtle things around the ruck that you sort of got to learn coming through. And I think that's probably the biggest thing, just every year, just trying to work on something new to add to my game. And especially had the likes of being lucky enough to be coached or assistant coached by a lot of great players and to sort of help me out, or older players such as we spoke about Cam McInnes before and Jake Granville here, like just sort of teach me a few things along the way that I've tried to add to my own game. And someone like Denny Badiris, you spoke earlier, great New South Wales hooker. I had him for coaching in one of the New South Wales teams coming through, and I took a lot out of what I learned from him and coming through, and he was a great help to me.
So you got the 12-year-old boy with the Reece Robson poster on the wall. One word of advice you can give him?
Keep doing you, mate. Have fun.
That's, I like that. I like that a lot when you hear people just have fun. Have fun with it.
Well, you got it. If you're not enjoying it, what's the point?
Oh, true that.
Speaking of, what do you do when you're trying to relax and wind down? Other than get dragged into podcast rooms.
I don't know. Probably love going down to the beach for a swim or actually love going to the movies, actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a good movie and just to relax when I really want to wind down and sort of switch off and not think too much. But, yeah, I love going down to the beach and being out fishing or in the water swimming or doing something like that. Really love doing all that sort of stuff, and that takes my mind off footy a bit, which is good.
So you're into DC or Marvel? If you had to pick one.
Probably.
Careful with your answer.
DC.
I'd say I love the Dark Knight.
Yes! Suck it, Marvel.
So that's
suck
DC
it, Dick Marvel. Yeah,
it's more Marvel down this end. But,
the new New Top South Gun Wales. Is about to come out. Oh. Apparently, it is incredible.
That's in 2 days, I think. That's
yeah,
26, yeah. mate. 26.
Oh, I'm keen.
I'm yeah. keen, but I don't want to be so keen that I get disappointed. You know how they always bring out a sequel or do a reboot. Yeah.
Apparently, this is not a disappointment. This is amazing.
I'm a little bit disappointed, though. I'm a big I'm a RAF brat, and F-14 Tomcat has always been my favorite aircraft. I know they're in Super Hornets for this movie, but I still.
Yeah, got to move with the times.
I know. You're not hardly anyone flies Tomcats anymore. But
they're about, 40 years old, the bloody things.
Yeah, but they're still a mean-looking machine. But anyway, yeah.
Anyway, is what it is.
I'm quite surprised they went to Raptors or something stupid like that.
Oh, no, that would be a bit stupid. Very stupid.
Frog grew up with Spitfires.
My granddad did work on Spitfires, and I have flown in one. So
that's cool. That is cool. That's good.
So story. The genre of movies, more superhero, or you like sci-fi, or a bit of true life, thriller,
comedy,
horror?
Probably. Yeah. Comedy, something to switch off to. Yeah, it's pretty easy when you don't have to think in a comedy and just sort of sit back and laugh.
Bit of Kevin Hart.
Yeah, Kevin Hart, probably back boy, Will Ferrell and that sort of thing, and your stepbrothers, that sort of movie. Yeah, love that sort of stuff. So
nice.
On the tough question of movies, popcorn or Choc Top? Or both?
Definitely.
Probably
both.
Maltesers more so.
Oh, is it Maltesers? Yeah. Have you tried?
Put them in the popcorn.
Someone said that, and I haven't tried it yet. I haven't It's good, is it?
What do you do?
You just put them in a popcorn.
So you get your popcorn, fresh, hot popcorn, and then you get your Maltese.
No, it's amazing.
And then you dip your hand in milk chocolate.
And then you're like, oh.
No, just take our word for it.
I haven't done it yet.
All right.
Take my word for it.
All right. I'm not going to do it in a movie theater because you can't see what you're doing then.
Oh, I can see what you're doing. No, it's okay.
That's probably a good thing, isn't it?
No judgment.
I've wiped my hands on my clothes afterwards.
Yeah. Walking out with these brown stains.
What's he been up to? Anyway. Yeah,
anyway. All right, well, this Friday night, 6 o'clock, down at Bluebet. When do you fly down?
Thursday, yeah.
Oh, yeah? Quick turnaround?
Yeah, head down there the day before and sort of get set up there and ready for it.
Take the winter woolies with you?
Hey? Yeah, we'll need to. It'll be cold out there at Penrith.
Are you going to check the weather now?
You don't have to go.
Don't tell me.
I won't tell you.
It's just snow.
I'm sure we'll find out pretty quick.
When you get off the plane.
And
be a little cool runnings.
Off the Cumberland plane.
It'd be like the cool runnings where you walk outside then run back inside.
And put was it Gaddis place. We were talking to and he was talking about when he was playing in England and he had the ice and all that?
Oh, I think you did say
that
something.
That sounded miserable.
Yeah. Running out onto a field of ice. No, thanks.
Yeah, no.
Your socks are just wet. No, thank you.
All right, well, the footy tipping comp this year over at footytips.com.au. All thanks to Be Clean NQ. JJ86 is leading the comp along with Toby Hunt on 82 points apiece. I find Tinsel distracting in third place on 81. Tamalolo is better than Parker on 80 points in fourth place. And then Chucky Milk, Calgo Shaz, Graham C 89, 79 points apiece. Winky's Weapons, 78. Cracking Dog, 77, along with Grizzly, 87. And that's our top 10. Red Hot Richie, our inaugural winner, is on 12 points. Rion Robertson, who is one of our Patreon subscribers. He is he tipped a perfect round there, along with Cambo 22 just quietly. But he's jumped. Rion's now in 11th spot.
Yeah, but the thing is...
Anyone else tip a... Perfect.
All right, we're getting there.
All right.
The funny thing is, you'll notice when you go to the other one that he's not in front of you because he mustn't have used a wild card in the
not in the other one.
Yeah, or it must have joined. Did he join late?
No, I don't think it matters. I think you got to pick your jokers per competition. Webster won our current championship has dropped to 15th spot. I'm in 17th. Tip 7 this week. Year of the Cow, Hail 7, Hammer Time. I love some of these names that people come up with. It's unreal. Living off 2015 Glory is on 69 points. Nice. Morgan TSV.
How do you do?
Tipped a perfect round by looks of things.
When Frog mentioned about how he didn't use his Joker, I went, I better check my tips.
Yeah.
And I saw his 8 and I was pissed.
Huge Hendo has used his Joker and jumped up in a 35th spot right on your tail, Morgs.
Yeah, I'm going to have to fight him off.
Didn't you have a bit of a running battle last year as well? I know you had a big one with Gaddis for a while there.
Yeah, he's my nemesis. I'm not sure about him. I think I've got him covered, don't worry.
Perfect round and Joker for Cowdy 38 and Christo 200. Well done, guys. Cheats.
Cheats.
And over in page 2, I'm trying to find you. Oh, Barking Frog, 59th. Jeez. Anyway, only right. 63, but you're not that far behind.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yous are all getting all chirpy and all that kind of stuff. I'm only 20 points behind the leader, I've only used one joker.
Some of these names, and so someone signed up and called himself File Celt, right? We've said this every week. Now someone else is calling himself Cuban Rotter. This is getting a bit... Come on, guys, come on. Fuck off is in 79th spot. I'm always going to call out that name. And 89th, Pistol Blazing Two Guns. But 5 this week, not the worst.
Oh, I also had Knights to beat Broncos. That's a bad beat there.
It is actually a bad beat. I'm trying not to think of that game. But anyway.
So he's technically not last at the
it's
moment.
Not last,
because,
last.
Because Bailey Mendyke, he's on 14 points. But I think he did join late.
He did join late. And I don't think he tipped previously. So, but anyway, it is what it is. Plenty of time to catch up. We're into round 12 starting. We're going to smash through these as quick as we can. So this Thursday at Amy Park, Storm are $1.17. Manly are $5. Frog?
Storm by 10. It's probably going to be bigger than that, but that's what I'm going. Storm by 10.
I'm going to go Storm by 8.
Don't want to see either team win Storm by 1.
Field goal.
I reckon after the last 2 weeks.
One field goal. Storm, for the whole
game. Storm by 18.
Storm by 18.
Yeah, they're going to be out. They're going to be. They would have got a talking to this week.
They're a bit cranky.
I reckon someone's cranky. I reckon someone's cranky down the bottom little corner of a screen. Every 5 minutes when they cut to Bellamy.
Oh, yeah.
He was fuming.
Do you look up at that on the field? Do you see that?
You see it after the game.
Yeah.
It was pretty amusing. I wish I'd just put him there all the time. Just watch him the whole way through.
Bellamy cam.
Yeah, well, you have Bellamy in one corner, then you get Todd in the other corner, and then you get the game in the main screen.
You wouldn't keep track of Todd. He's always up and walking around.
Oh, he is. He's a pacer.
I've got no idea. No idea what he's doing up there. So.
I don't think he Todd does. He's just doing circles.
Todd was smiling in the box this week.
Tell you what, I wouldn't like to be Todd Payton's chewing gum, though. No, oh, that gets a workout. That gets an absolute workout.
This is the most random thing you've ever said.
Friday, 6 p.m., Bluebet. It's Panthers up against the Cowboys. $1.23 to the Panthers. Cowboys, $4.15. I tell you what, get on board. Frog.
For sure. Yeah, I've gone the boys. I think this will be tough. This will be tough, but I reckon we can get it done. I think it'll be a close one, though.
This one hurts me because I like both teams. Panthers is my old team. Cowboys, it's going to be a tough game, but I am going to swing to the Cowboys this time around. I think the defence is going to win it.
I don't think this will be tough at all. I think Cows will win and win well, 19+.
I'm going to get on board this week because I'm missing out on all these 19 pluses that you keep getting on and fucking money bags over here. Morgs.
I'm just following his tips. I know this is a Cowboys podcast, but Cowboys, like, you can't not, like, the form, everything about it. You got to go Cowboys.
Second,
you're gonna smash them.
Second best defensive side up against the first best defensive side. Second best attack against the third best attack. This is salivating.
But you kind of feel like something magic's gonna happen every time.
Bit of a tongue twist there.
Salivating. That's the title of the show this week. 7:55 at Suncorp. Second game on Friday. Frog, you're asking. It's Broncos.
Yeah, I know. I knew it was.
$1.44, Titans, $2.80.
I've gone. This is a tough one because Reynolds is out. Yeah, Reynolds, I know they played all right last week without Reynolds, but let's be honest, Newcastle's playing pretty ordinary at the moment. Titans.
They also
look,
got a 24-point advantage soon, Broncos last week.
They did.
Yeah. I've gone the Broncos, but
yeah, I'm going the Broncos at Suncorp.
Yeah.
Titans for all money. I don't think they're on a slide.
Oh, geez, I hope so. But
I'm more curious now whether Jared Wallace can score 3 weeks in a row.
With the Broncos, Cowboys, North Queensland Derby or Queensland Derby, whatever you want to call it, do you guys, obviously being from New South Wales and you come up, how much have you bought into that derby? Like, do you hate the Broncos now that you play for the Cowboys?
Yeah, especially once you've played in one of those derbies, you realise. You sort of exactly like as we said, those older players that we spoke about sort of have come in that have been around the club and spoke about their sort of the hate's obviously there when you're on the field, but just sort of the passion they have for that sort of game and how much it means to them is sort of it's hard to ignore. And as soon as you sort of put on that jersey for yourself, you buy into it straight away. And yeah, it doesn't take long to start hating them, but, but no, yeah, exactly. When it's such a good game, and I think it's great for both teams to sort of get out there, and it's such a high energy for a mid-season game, and I think that's, yeah, something you really look forward to, and it's a very exciting game. So.
Cause it's weird with the fans because you'll have always Broncos supporters and, oh, Cowboys make a second favourite team, vice versa. I'm not like that. I hate the Broncos with a passion. And it's sort of like, how do you have two Queensland teams but have an origin style rivalry? It's quite impressive how the players have built that up.
Yeah, definitely. Just for so many years, it's just always been such a good game, and even not being a part of it, just sort of growing up and watching that, even when I was playing down at the Dragons, it was always such a good game to watch. Playing for another team, you'd sort of always sit down and try and make time out of your day to watch that game because it was such a good high intensity and generally pretty close game. So,
yeah,
it is a good game to watch, and the more we can sort of keep that going, and I think the better.
Yep. I guess growing up sort of down in that area and the Tweed and that, you're probably sick of hearing about the Broncos anyway, and being New South Wales aligned.
For a long part of it, that's all that was around down there. And for a Manly fan, that was the only way I had to watch them was up against the Broncos. So, yeah, I had that hate already.
Yeah, excellent. Perfect. Slot right in. I like it. Morgs?
Yeah, Broncos pretty easily here.
Perfect. Saturday, 3 p.m. at Morton Daily, New
South Wales. That's not going to happen.
What's that?
Broncos won't win.
Oh, okay. If you're still on that, that's good. New Zealand, I keep saying New South Wales Warriors. Whoops. New Zealand Warriors, they're almost the Queensland team now. They've been here that long. Up against the Knights. Frog?
I've gone the Warriors. I think they've played pretty good footy the last couple of weeks. They've just been unlucky and haven't been able to finish it off. So I reckon this is the week for it. Cliffo's back in for Newcastle, though, which only makes me a little bit nervous because he always seems to play really well after he's been dropped and comes back. So, but, yeah, I've gone Warriors.
I'm going to go the Knights. I think they got ripped off a little bit last week, and they're going to come back with a passion. And no, it's Harris DeVito.
He's been out for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, right, okay. I wasn't sure if he was playing still.
Yeah, I hear your Knights got ripped off. I think Warriors, though. I'm getting on them this week.
This is 50-50 for me. I'm going to go Warriors.
Cool. Second game of Saturday at Accor Stadium. Rabbits, $1.43. Yeah. Tigers, $2.80. Frog.
I haven't actually tipped anyone yet on this game because the Bunnies have been playing like a bunch of bastards and the Tigers have actually been going half all right. But yeah, I don't think the Bunnies can keep losing forever, so I'll go the Bunnies.
Yep, Rabbits.
Yeah, I think Bunnies can lose. Tigers will win. Adam Dewey's back.
Morgs.
Yeah, you know I'm tipping the Bunnies first.
All right, very good. The last game of Saturday at Points Bet. Sharks, $1.77. Roosters, $2.05.
I've gone the Sharks. I think this will be a good game, actually. I'm actually quite looking forward to this one, but I reckon the Sharks.
Roosters are a bottom four side. Go on the Sharks.
Roosters are a bottom four side. Don't know how they managed to still be seventh. Go the Sharks.
Sharks.
Beautiful. On Sunday at Belmore, Bulldogs, $2.45. Dragons, $1.55.
I've gone the Dragons. As much as I'd love to see the Doggies finally get a win, I think the Dragons are actually going to kill them. I think they're going to absolutely thump them.
I'm going to go Dragons.
Yeah, I've gone Saints.
Never Reece's tip the Dogs.
Old team.
Yeah.
So, you go on the Dogs?
No, I said never tip the Dogs. Dragons.
You did tip the Dogs once.
Never again.
Yeah, look what happened.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then the last game of the round at GIO at 4.05. Raiders, $2.55. Eels, $1.52.
This is a tough one, man. The Raiders played really good footy last week. I was pretty impressed with how they come out and that, you know, Jack Whiten back in just seemed to give them that little bit of oomph that they were sort of missing. But I've gone Parramatta. But I tell you what, Raiders at GIO and the odds they're paying, I'd probably be chucking a sneaky on that.
I'm going the Eels.
I'm definitely going the Raiders. Croker is back.
Box.
Since it's in Canberra, I'm going Raiders.
Very good. And that is round.
Sorry, just on that Raiders one as well, Fogarty's first game for the year for the Raiders.
Right.
Get on the green machine.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see. So that's round 12 for footytips.com.au. And that's for Be Clean NQ, carpets and upholstery, and aircons.
Aircons.
Whatever
else you do.
Almost. Almost anything.
Do you actually do anything?
There's limits. No, I don't actually do it at all.
Eddie does it all for you?
Yeah. Yeah. It's all Eddie. He listens.
If you need any carpet cleaning done at your place, Reesey.
Me to ask.
Yeah, buddy, I'll give you a card later on. No worries.
He done Rube's couch one time. Didn't realise he was doing Rube's couch, but he did it.
Yeah, he did. Rocked up. Hey, I don't know you.
Your air cons are all cluttered with dust or anything?
These ones smell mouldy, but it's not because of them.
I just noticed. I like what they've done. I like what the NRL page have done with teams because it's the Indigenous round. They've put beside it the area.
Yeah, they've been doing that for a few years now.
Yeah, I don't go onto the NRL site much though. So yeah.
I'm on there nearly every day. I don't know, slightly addicted maybe.
Not during workouts.
Parramatta and absolutely Canterbury during workouts. Same areas.
Which one? What?
Parramatta and Canterbury almost basically same area. Oh
yeah,
Darug.
Part of it is yeah. Remember they used to share a ground at one stage there. Yeah.
All right, well, a quick touch on Supercoach, thanks to Send It Boss.
Yes, once again, big thank you to our friends at Send It Boss. Paul and Brooke, they do a great job.
Great apparel, great bottles, great coolers, great shirts.
Yeah, good shirts.
Great
yeah.
bucket hats.
Yep.
They're amazing. Keeps the sun off your lid.
Chucked in a couple of prize packs for our two competitions. I had a great week, personally. Both my teams won. I flogged Pistol in one comp. And
yeah, I got 1,000 this week. I thought I was doing good. Clicked on it, lost 3 out of 4 comps.
I saw a few players score unders and shut it down. Haven't looked at it since.
I've done pretty good.
Supercoach, it's horrible.
Reece is my starting hooker, and I got Coruscant is my backup hooker, so I'm pretty happy in that area. And
wow,
been pulling some pretty good numbers too. Do you look at the Supercoach at all?
Not really, but it's good to hear.
I think we asked last week. We asked Drinky, have a look at your dollar value on there. You have a just look and compare with each other, and just go, how come you're so much worth so much? And what's going on here? Show it to your agent. Come on.
I'll have to start showing.
Yeah. Drinky's worth $6.45 now. He's actually dropped $30,000 in stock.
Oh, bargain.
Jeez. So you have one good week, though, isn't it?
But the dollars jump
and then
I picked
it's
him
weird.
For a song, though. Like, I got him for under 300s or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I know.
He's now $6.45.
I can't afford to bring him in now. It's terrible. Anyway.
Just a quick one. I know nothing about Supercoach, but I'm playing you and you. So the Frog and Pete this week.
Well.
So I'm going to actually have to
sit winner, winner.
Try and win
it.
It
means I'll move up the table some more this week.
It'll be like watching Tigers Bulldogs.
Yeah, it's going to be a bad beat for me.
Is this going to be potentially your first win of the season?
Maybe against Pete. Maybe. Not against you.
I'll give you a heads up. My captain this week I made is Sean Johnson.
Sean Johnson? Yeah. All right.
Because Warriors are playing Knights.
Yeah, it's a good point. Shout out to a guy I was talking to, a client of mine, Michael. He's in the top 250 in Australia in Supercoach. So
you need to be talking to him more.
He was having a bit of a chat to me about it, and I had a look at what I am. I am 100. What am I? 104,000 in Australia, and he's top 250. But he did tell me most of his players, so I'm gonna have to start training.
Start copying is what you're trying to say.
Basically, yeah.
All right. Well, that's Supercoach for this week.
Yeah, I can't get in there, so I can't see the table. So I was going to give a bit of a rundown on me.
Yeah,
on the top.
I can't get into it either. That's why I've just moved on. It's sometimes you try to log into it and it freaks out.
Yeah,
so.
It's freaking out. But we might need to try and get that set up as another post to get the maybe top three for both comps.
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah,
for Sender Boss.
Yeah,
yeah. Let's do that.
We'll make that happen.
I'll make that happen.
I know I moved up. I know I moved up in one comp because I'm the second comp. I'm going all right. In the first comp, I'm not going too well in it at all.
All right. Before Reece goes to sleep, because he looks like he's getting bored over there. No, you're right.
It's find all of that from senateboss.com.au.
Correct.
That's it.
We've got a bit of a different segment this week. It's called the MHE Quick Five. It's Morgan Holmes Evans Quick Five. He came up with five quick questions for you, but anyway, they are. Your favourite sports team not in the NRL and any big sporting events you've been to, like the Super Bowl or anything like that?
I think.
On the spot, there we go. Stopped him.
Got me, nah.
Not an AFL fan or
NFL, no American sports.
NBA?
No sport.
NBA. Yeah. Like, I watch a bit of it every now and then, but don't follow anything enough to sort of have one exact team. Like,
that's fine.
What about a single sport team? Like
tennis.
Federer.
Tiger Woods.
Tiger.
That's probably all Kelly Slater or something like that. That's probably more what I watch, golf and surfing.
Have you seen Kelly Slater's wave pool he's got? That thing looks sick, eh?
Actually, probably my cousin. He's on the world tour now. So
really,
Callum Robson. So he's
there
you go.
So probably him.
There you go.
Keep an eye out for him. There you go. Yeah, okay. Next world champion there, ladies and gentlemen.
He's going to win bells this year.
Got second this year, actually.
Really?
Second.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he won the quickie pro too. So Rip Curl pro and snapper. So
that's cool.
Yeah, he's going pretty good.
So congrats to him.
Jeez.
Can you surf?
Not at all. Can stand up, that's about it.
Yeah, okay.
It's better than what I can do, so.
I stood up once and then that's about it.
Can he play footy?
I don't know. I think he played when he was younger, but he's too good at surfing, so he stuck to that.
Yep, fair enough. I just didn't know if the talents crossed over. You never know. Your favourite place to eat in Townsville?
Favourite place to eat in Townsville? The Watermark, probably.
Good choice. Yeah.
What's the go-to?
Chicken parmy.
Yeah.
That's the go-to. Brekkie, bacon, legs. All the pancakes, me and Drinky get down there and smash some of them every now and then.
I'm getting hungry. Don't mind a meal. What would you like to be remembered for post-career?
I don't know. You kind of want to win a comp and do all that sort of stuff. But, I think if you're just sort of liked by all your people you've ever played with and been a good team player and obviously achieved what you want to achieve in footy and be known as a good footballer as well, be pretty good. So.
I don't think you got any problems there.
Captaining the Cowboys to their fourth premiership in a row.
Would be lovely. Real lovely.
Fourth premiership.
Even just one, I'd be happy.
Well, Chad's the captain for the next 3 years, and then Robbo will get captain after that. So we're going to win.
7 year domination.
We're going to win four in a row.
All right. Okay.
I like that.
One message for the fans.
Hopefully we can keep winning. You guys keep turning up. Love having you there.
And what does Indigenous Round mean to the team?
I think it means a lot to the team, just to sort of, more so just to see what it means for the Indigenous guys that you've got a part of your team, sort of how much it means to them, and sort of give them a game to sort of recognise a lot of their culture. And it sort of gives us a good understanding too that we probably didn't know too much about before they sort of brought this in. They sort of pretty give us a bit more of an idea of what it means to them and sort of the culture and that, and especially being part of the North Queensland Cowboys, which is a lot of our followings, Indigenous community. And I think it's really good to sort of get back and sort of see a lot of that side of the community as well. So I think it's a really good game and a really good round for the comp to have introduced.
I like this year's jersey.
Yeah, it's nice.
It is a pretty cool jersey.
I really like this year's. Like this is last year. This is last year's, and even the one the year before that more that greeny blue one and that kind of stuff. We've had some pretty awesome. I think all our Indigenous jerseys have been pretty cool. There's been some ones out there that I've sort of questioned at times, but I'm really liking this year's one too. So
the only thing that bothers me, and it shouldn't, but the only thing that bothers me is especially this one you've got on here. So the sponsor logo has that the border, and it blocks out a lot of the image.
Yeah.
And I understand from a commercial perspective, they want you've got to have it. They have their branding, but you see it on the defence jersey as well, and some of the others.
It'd be cool if they just kind of merged them and let them.
I think some of the Dolphins jersey prototypes have been put out. There's the box behind it. It just makes it look a bit funny. But anyway, that's it's a niggle.
Tell you what, just on the jerseys, Cowboys have done a bang-up job this year.
Yeah.
Like that defence jersey, I reckon that was got to be one of their best ones.
I really like the defence jersey because I'm a RAF brat, and there was a fairly heavy RAF influence on that one. I mean, there was a bit of everything on there, which I did like, which I probably made it even better. But the fact that there's actually aircraft on it and all that kind of stuff, it looked really, really sick.
The Raiders and Sharks were good, but the Indigenous one this year tells a bit of a story of day, earth, night, and sun.
I'm looking forward to it. You're wearing them this weekend. Are you just wearing them the week after?
I know we're wearing them at the Dragons game back here at home. I'm not 100% sure whether we're wearing them this weekend as well. So hopefully we can get to wear them for both. They're a nice jersey.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is that time of the night. Once again, all thanks to our good friends at Fusion Networks. It is time for Pistols Multi.
All right. After an unfortunate bad beat last week, we are back in the saddle. However, it's not a multi as such this week. It's more of a statement. We're not multiing. We're doing two separate bets for $10 each. So the first one is, it's all happening Friday night. It's Cowboys versus Panthers. I've been on a heater the last couple of times. I picked up last week 30-plus against the Storm. I've picked up 30-plus against Para. I've picked up 19-plus against Knights.
Tigers. I haven't seen a dollar of it over this way.
It's been out of my own. So this week we're just going with the odds on offer. Cowboys to beat Panthers for $10, 13-plus at 21-1. So a nice little 200 collect there. And then we're going in. No, we're not doing 13-plus. I got greedy. Sorry, we're not doing 13-plus.
Oh.
We're doing 19-plus. So Cowboys to win 19-plus at 41-1.
Oh, okay. You did get greedy.
Yeah. So that's paying 410. And then we're going Cowboys to win. They can do 19-plus. The ambush is on.
You got 30-plus, though.
I got 30-plus. You got 30-plus. At 151-1, 30-plus. If we win by 19, 30's not that far away. It's two converted tries.
Fair enough. Hey, look, hey, can't complain with that one. All thanks to our good friends at Fusion Networks. I've never been so nervous on a podcast with the multi that you've just put out there, mate. There's some big wishes there. I like it.
I'd like to knock him, but he's got it right. What, Three out of the last 4 weeks.
Annoyingly accurate.
Annoyingly accurate.
Yeah.
So I've been following. So.
I will be personally going 13, 19 and 30 for those playing at home. So 210, 410 and 1500 for $30 outlay. But Fusion Annie supports $20. So we're going 19s and 30.
Sometimes Fusion gets a bit greedy too. And just chucks a little extra out sometimes.
Once again, all thanks to our good friends at Fusion Networks. That is another multi for this week. And as I always say, hey, look, it's your money. Do what you want.
Gamble with Fusion's money. It works for us.
Put it this way, if they win by 22, you're still picking up on 19 plus.
Yeah, fair call.
Fair enough. Hey, I'm not arguing. Like I said. Been on a streak, so yeah, I might get on board. We ask this one. There's a couple of questions we ask every player who comes on. So the first one's your favourite pie.
Oh, curry pie.
Curry pie.
Chicken curry or beef curry?
Yeah. Curry mint or whatever.
And if you ever get the opportunity and you go out west and you go through Cloncurry, go the curry, the Cloncurry bakery.
Curry pie.
And it's a curry, it's a mean curry pie.
Sweet, I'll give you that one a go.
The curry pie. All their pies are really good, but, yeah, the curry pie is.
Is there any particular place in towns where you'll get a pie from, go out of your way, or?
Oh, probably maybe White's do a nice family pie. White's Grocers down there at North Ward, yeah.
They're good.
Get one of those, put them in the oven, unreal.
They do a few different out there specialty ones, like a Moroccan lamb curry and a buttered chicken, and they do all sorts of different. I had a beef and mushroom there the other, and it was stacked with mushrooms in it.
Yeah, I had, the peppered beef and onion, and that was unreal. Probably the first one I had, so I haven't got anything different. I keep going the same one.
The other one we asked, which might get you into a little bit of trouble, maybe, no, probably not. So the scenario is you're on a deserted island. You can take two players with you.
Righty.
So you're going to name the two players you definitely want to take with you.
Yep.
And two players you definitely don't want to take with you.
Oh, two players.
And why?
And why?
Oh, I heard about this from Drinky, actually. Yeah, he's probably spot on not taking Val. Would complain about everything. I think someone you probably would take would be someone, probably the two Fijian boys. they'd be unreal on the island. I think they'd be pretty used to it. So, they'd probably be someone you'd want to be kept there with. And, I think Val and Tommy Dearden would be the two I don't.
I don't think Tommy Dearden.
Tommy Dearden. He hasn't popped up yet, has he?
I don't think we'd ever be getting off that island.
Val would be like, that's just too far.
I don't know. You might with Val. He's got some motivation from what we hear.
He does, yeah.
Yeah.
Who knows? It's hard to pick one. Any of them. Happy to be on with it.
Absolutely. I've just a bit of news handed to us just this moment. The round 11 team of the week, and Jesus, Cowboys all over it, but the number 9, Reece Robson.
There you go.
Look at that.
That's the NRL team of the week.
Morgs? It is, fan vote.
Oh, yeah, sick.
Yep. Congrats.
That'd be cool.
Thanks.
I think you're on the bloke in the bar one as well.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. Yep. You had a good game. Let's not lie. You did have a pretty good game.
And 3 out of the 4 here did not give you 1 point. Just let you know.
Jeremiah Nanai, Chad Townsend, and Scotty Drinkwater, the other guys making that team of the week. So, that's pretty handy. Our playlist.
Oh, our playlist.
It's getting bigger.
Did we pre-warn you on that one?
Yeah.
Yep. All right, cool.
You got one?
I'm probably going to have to go Drops of Jupiter.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Train.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
Love it.
Oh, Jupiter. I've noted down because we add it to Spotify.
And Apple. That's it.
And yours. YouTube. So, whichever service you use.
It's in Spotify already.
On the Ranch NQ playlist, is it?
Yeah.
It's On the Ranch podcast playlist.
Yeah.
It's got
that on the car.
3.5 hours of music.
Yeah. Beauty. It's getting pretty good then.
Next road trip.
Yeah.
Crank it.
That's it.
Started with 14 minutes.
Just take the Bluetooth speaker in the plane on the way down to the city.
Exactly.
Bang it on.
Got a 3 hour trip there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Sorted. Perfect.
I love that, no doubt. I've gone a bit of Faith No More, but easy.
Oh, I was gonna use not I haven't
not this
done
week,
it.
Clearly.
No, I heard it on the radio today, I think, and
that's probably why it's been in my head all day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, oh, that'll be a good one to put in there. See, yeah.
Yeah, good song. Gotta be quick.
Pistol. I've got a classic by Paul Kelly, Careless.
Right.
Yep. How many cabs in New York City? How many angels on a pin?
Okay, how I've never really into Paul Kelly, so I will be now. I have to listen. So
how many tears in a bottle of gin?
I went and saw him in Townsville. He's fantastic.
Yeah,
yeah. Okay. Well, I'm a big Paul Kelly fan.
Rightio. Speaking of Morgs, who you got? Oh God, who is this?
I'm trying to stick to my theme. It's getting harder every week. Okay, so I'm googling bloody cat songs here. I've gone "Get Into It" by Doja Cat, which is a bit of a fun, quirky song. You know, a bit different.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I'd play a. Hum a few bars for us.
Oh, no, I'm never doing that. Don't worry. No, it's in your own time. Go listen to it. Enjoy.
Fair enough.
What was it?
Get into it by Doja Cat.
Doja Cat.
Get into it. Yuck.
Yuck.
Y-U-K.
Right.
Yuck. In brackets.
Y-U-H.
Is it Y-U-H? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, sorry.
Do we want to go the explicit version or the normal version?
We're going explicit.
We're going explicit.
Got to go explicit.
Yeah.
It's a point otherwise.
Otherwise, basically, there's no lyrics.
Oh, fair enough. Fair enough.
This is a bit like WAP.
No, it's not quite that bad.
Okay, right.
I went Richard Marx, Satisfied.
Bloody hell, that's a blast from the past.
Yeah, it was on
showing our age.
It was on Triple M today, and I went, I haven't heard this song in years.
Yeah. Might be a reason for that.
Yeah.
What a good song.
100% hits volume 6 or something.
Just had a banging playlist until
you. Good on you. A bit more uppy beat, you know?
Yeah.
Bit of a pick me up from his song last week. My song last week was a bit slow, so I thought I'd better go a bit up tempo this week.
All right, fair enough. That's good. All right, that's our. If you've got anything else for us around the table,
man, just thank you for coming in. Keep playing how you're playing. It's amazing.
Yeah, my super coach believes in that too. So
thanks for having me on, fellas.
Yeah, no, it's been a pleasure. Get to know the players a little bit more in depth.
Sounds good.
Give Reesey a follow on all the socials and watch his numbers go farther. We'll get you a blue tick. We've got to get you a blue tick. That's the goal.
Sounds good.
That was one thing I did want to ask you. Sorry, Rob.
No.
The best place in the world to have a beer or a coffee or a cup of tea or a drink of some sort?
Oh, that I've been to or...
Oh, yeah, or just an experience. Where would be the best...
I like a bit of forward driving and camping, and Double Island Point down just north of Sunny Coast, unreal spot.
That's
a sick spot down there. Yeah, I try to get there every time I get back home to the Goldie, a little road trip up north with a few mates, and yeah, it's a good spot.
More than a tourly trip on that one, no doubt. Load the camp fridge up.
Exactly.
All right, we've got some goodies for you too for coming in, so... whack that on your car, and we've got a buff for you there as well.
Cheers, fellas.
So just a little thank you for coming on and taking the time out. I know you come pretty much straight from training to here, so we really appreciate your time and good luck this week. And your goal is to score another try, go to the Bullhorns. If you remember, that's fine. I mean, if you remember that, when we'll all know, everyone. Listening, us in here, and everyone that's listening to the podcast, and they, he's done that. Yeah. I like that. Yeah, and you got to work on all the other guys that we've got to get everyone else on.
A few rocking babies.
There's a lot.
Yeah. So don't drink the water at training, just by the sounds of it.
All right, yes, you can find Reese at Reese Robson with two N's. On Instagram, you can find us at On The Ranch NQ on Insta, me at XR Bob on Twitter. At Morgan Holmes Evans and at Barking Frog MC on whatever social you use, including Grindr and Pistol.
Oh, ha.
I haven't said that for ages.
I know, and it's still not funny.
No, it is. And Pistol.
Oh, yeah.
Hi.
On the spot.
Yeah.
Have you got one this week, mate?
I had one before the game, and then obviously I didn't get it out, so I did it after the game, after a few lubricants. And I'll try. I'm going camping.
Doesn't have the same effect after the game.
It does not.
It's a bit hard to get it out before a Friday game, too.
Yeah, it is. It's not easy. I'm heading out Kilbourne Creek on Friday after work. So
you can do it on Thursday.
Well, I'll be riding shotgun, so I might do one like I used to did back on the dark highway.
Very good.
Fair enough.
Looking forward to it.
All
right, that's
how
us.
How hard it is to rhyme something with Robson. Yeah. Not easy.
No, I don't. I've never tried. Go Cowboys.
That's it. We're out.
Wrap the boys.
Bye.